Anytime you're ready.
Yes, I went over with my old friend. We went over to the Sound of Fish. A good many years ago now. And we were coming back from the Sound, and just as we rounded Blackhead, we pulled up close to the land to cheat the tide lake. Tide was against us.
Yeah.
And we got up about halfway up to John Doe, as they call it, Blackhead. Mm-hmm. Well, I had the two fishing lines out behind, thrown behind, and it was my spell at the lines, and Ambrose was rowing. So I happened to look, and I seen a boat coming out with a black log sail on it, and the hull painted black too, and it was getting dusk. So I said to Ambrose, "What boat is that, Ambrose?" He pulled the oars in and he looked around. He says, "I don't know, I can't make that boat out. Not Walter Cool's boat at all," he said. "Oh no," I said, "and Walter Cool's boat," I said, "is the only boat with a log sail in Ports of Mary, a port here in Ireland," now, I said. "And another thing," I said, "Walter Cool's boat is painted red, the hull. And this boat was painted black, a coulter, and I couldn't tell which." "Oh, it's funny," he said. And I was looking at him, and I says, "And there's nobody seen me stay on the boat." And Bruce pulled over in again. "No," he said, "that's funny." And just at that minute, she went away as quick as I'm telling it, and quicker. She went out, vanished the same as the bottom went out of her. "Oh," he said, "and there's nobody seeming to be staying." "Oh, no," I said, "there's not. But that's a funny place, John Doe." There were some of the old fishermen when they went out there to fish, you know. They were afraid of this, what they call the base of John Doe. And they'd be carrying a bottle of rum and leaving it in the cave there where you're supposed to live. And there's an old man, Craig Nash, he was going down and collecting them at the weekend. Yes, that's right.
And you both seen this, sir, this here boat, then, John?
Eh?
You both seen it? Ambrose?
Both.
Seen it too.
And Bruce went down to Port St. Mary special the next day. No, there's no boat that would tell you about that at all in Port St. Mary. No, poor dear, and she was a long sail boat and a very low long sail. You know, there was very little peak in it too.
Yeah.
Very little peak.
Yeah.
I don't know. We were telling Walter Dawson about it. He's a great boy, Walter.
Yes, I shipmates with Walter.
Why, yeah?
Yes. He's a great wit, wasn't he?
Walter said that might have happened hundreds of years ago, he said.
It's possible. It's quite possible.
That's what Walter said.
It's possible. Yes, of course.
But I don't know, I was never superstitious.
Mm. No, but you apparently saw something there that day which makes you think, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because the two of you, neither of you...
the two of us seemed as plain as I'm looking at them houses.
Yes, and both of you were non-drinkers. Huh? I said both of you were teetotalers.
Teetotalers? Yes.
It makes you think, doesn't it, really?
Yes. There was no... I mean, we weren't talking about fairies or anything of that sort, you know.
No. Amazing, isn't it?
I was talking to poor Ambrose the night before he died, I was up seeing him, and he mentioned that to me.
Well, there you are. You see, it was still vivid in his memory.
Yeah.
You see, that's it. It had impressed him.
Yes.
I had a similar experience some years ago, too. I had been on the King Ory, and I'd come off on Christmas, or at least on Boxing Day. I'd sailed the month of December, and I'd relieved Ambrose Fellowshaw. So my wife and I and son, we came down to a cousin's to have spend the day with him, like, you know.
Yes.
Had tea and supper, and then we started to go home that night. Fine, clear night. Never saw a soul on the road, a human being anyway. We got down the blackboards, and we went down the dip from the blackboards towards the first corner where you bear slightly to the left, then you square up and you go straight along for Balalana. And just in the grass verge on the right-hand side, there appeared to be what I first thought was a sheep or a calf or something. Anyway, when I squared up to go down the straight, it turned out to be the apparition of a monk. And it just slid across the front of the car. I jammed the brakes on, stalled the engines and stopped dead. Nearly went out through the windscreen. And it stopped on the other side of the road, on the other side over the grass verges. It turned around, it looked towards us, and then just went up the grass effortlessly through that little gate that's there and got out of the beam of the headlights. You talk about getting a fright. I haven't got much hair, John, but it stood straight like a fury. My wife is 6 weeks after. Yes.
Can you describe it, Captain?
Yes. To me, it was a very slight figure dressed in, grey cloth or clerical grey, you know, with
yes.
Clergymen here, they like to wear that kind of thing.
Yes.
And the hood up, and inside the hood it was all like pucker work, you know, but there's no face visible. And when it moved, there was no locomotion, whereas you couldn't see the limbs of this thing moving. It was just, like I said, it
yes.
slid
yes.
effortlessly along the ground
yes.
and just away into space. Now, a day or two later, I went down to the Barney Moo to
yes.
see my uncle there. My uncle, Fred, he was retired there. You remember Fred Farragut
yes.
retired there? And I was telling him about this incident, you know. So anyway, he laughed at me, and he was a bit of a hard man. He said, "Why didn't you put your hand out and wish him a happy new year?" He said, you know, just like that. I said, "That's all right for you, you see." But he made fun of it.
Yeah.
But about a week or 10 days later, I went down again to see him because he was in indifferent health at that time. But his mood had changed when I went in. He said, tell me a little more about what you saw, he said, down at the blackboard. So I told him. Then he went on to describe to me about the walk that these monks had. They used to walk along the river, Santa River,
yeah.
and come up around there. And they used to cross the road at that particular point and go through that little gate there that was specially made. And they used to walk right up over the top of the fields and come back right in again into the
oh.
monastery, wherever they were. And another thing he told me, he said that they were never known to deviate. They always went on that line. They never went to the north of that. They always kept the south for some unknown reason.
Yes.
The monks of Russian Abbey.
Yes, yes. Yes, that's what he told me. But I can assure you, I got a fright. I did, honestly. And I'm not a superstitious fellow. Far from
well,
it.
I'm not superstitious either, but I always take my cap off and all of that.
Ah, yes, yes, that's right. Oh, lots of punches on the road if you don't.
I've seen many a time, I suppose, on scores of occasions, even visitors.
Oh, yes, even the Reverend Thompson does that too. He's not immune from it, you know.
He's not immune from it.
Well, I've been taught to do it.
Yes, he's been taught to do it. Yes. But I'll tell you something.
I do too.
I'll tell you something further than that, John. The following summer, I was down in Port Erin one evening, and I called in to see the late James Cregeen, you know, at Westwood.
Oh, yes,
you know, James.
Yes.
And I went upstairs and had a chat with him. And so when we came downstairs, there was quite a few friends sitting in the sitting room. So we got chatting about everything else. And one of these chaps turned out to be the Reverend Tagney Pickett of Lazare now, who, by the way, is a relation. Of course, I didn't know at that time. So he was like just a mucky. I didn't know either a parson. So we chatted. So for something to say, like the conversation fell flat, my wife started telling about this little episode we had. See, about the blackboards. And anyway, that was all right. We departed. So later on in the season, I was down Port Erin again, down the harbour, and Ernie, the brother, had the boat out, you know, the
yes.
And I was chatting to him. So he said, after he went home, he said, the other night, he said, I went upstairs, he said, and I said, James said to me, Jimmy said to me, this poor chap had been riddled in the first war with shell shock and shrapnel and all that. And he was just a tabby, more or less. He died not so very long ago. Anyway, Jim said to me, he said, you'd quite have gathered him down below tonight, Ernest. Yes, he said, oh, he said, yes. So and so and so and so. And Captain Callow, he said, and Mrs. Callow. And he said they were telling some story about seeing the vision of a monk. Oh, I said. And he said, where did they see it? Well, I don't know. And he said, where they saw, really? He said, it wasn't, he said, at the blackboards, between the blackboards, he said, and Ballylona, was it? Yes, he said. He said, Father has seen him walking off from Douglas many a time. Now, poor old Jim there was a very, very, very devout man. He wouldn't tell a lie, wouldn't. He shows you didn't. Oh, yes, you were going to recite a hymn to us, John, weren't you?
What's the hymn, Thomas?
One verse you knew of it.
Oh.
Can you recall it?
Oh, you all are invited with Christ on high, on board of his good ship, the ancient Noah's Ark, who was launched at Eden, has long been at sea, and comes into heaven for you and for me. That's the only verse I knew about.
Very good, too, for
yes,
all these years.
But they used to sing that.
Yes, very yes. Good.
Was that one of the hymns they sang at the fishing?
Was that one of the hymns they sang at the fishing, John?
Yes.
Yes. What they used to call that? Closing the day, was it? What was it?
Finishing the day.
Finishing the day. That's what they used to call that.
Yes.
A little ceremony.
Yes.
After
or before they cast their nets?
After.
After the nets were in the water. And the
last thing on the watch below went in their bunks.
I see.
Of course, the boy went in his bunk too. Well, that would be about 7 o'clock in the evening.
Yes.
And the man would get up and the other man would come then and leave him after 2 hours and watch. But the boy hadn't had to go and watch at all. He got in bed until he went all the nets. That was midnight when he started all the nets. And he would work at the pulling them in till 4 o'clock in the morning. Half past four. I've seen them 7 hours guiding the rope.
Well, the cook had to coil the rope, hadn't he?
Yes. Yeah. The boat's standing in. Yeah. And the water went down here out of your boots.
Yeah. Wet through.
Wet through.
Yes. I can remember my uncle's telling me that he went to sea in a fishing boat when he was 11.
Yeah.
And he said he'd be down. He said, I always remember, he said, about people, he said, have no feeling for young people. He said, I was down below, he said, and we were shocked, he said, out about 20 miles southwest of Chickens.
Uh-huh.
And he said, we started a haul, and he said, I was seasick, and he said, I was down the hole in the deck, he said, where the rope was. And he said, anyway, he said, I wasn't getting this rope coiled quick enough, and he said, there's an old fella up there, and he said, get the rope down quicker, boy. And he said, the next thing I knew was, he said, there's a bucket of water thrown down on top of me. He lived me up.
Well,
some very inhuman monks might be sure.
I was never seasick. Mm. That's all. Never
Yes. What age are you now, John?
Eh?
What age are you?
That's 90 last night.
Mm, wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful indeed. Mm, yeah. Wonderful.
Mm. I'm gone. Oh, my schoolmate is dead.
Mm.
Not one left out there anymore.
Only your memories. Well, it's lovely listening to you. I could stay here all day and all night listening to you. Going back over the years, it certainly is a treat. And it's an interesting, I'm sure it'll be interesting to other people as well. Anyway, there isn't something wrong with them, I should say. What do you say, Tom?
Very, very good.
Reverend Thompson says that we're very grateful to you for all these memories. We've got it on tape. And we'll come down again, perhaps, and get some more from you, if you've got any.
Yeah.
When it suits you.
Yes, any time.
Well, that's very kind of you now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also thank you for your kindness and your hospitality. It's first class.
I thank God for my memory. I'd rather lose any faculty than my memory.
Yes, very nice thought after a job.
I would.